We read from Matthew chapter 22 about the Pharisees being gathered together. And the Pharisees were not only a religious group, but they were a political group in Israel that in Jesus' day. They were a group that insisted that the law was supreme and that you had to keep it to the letter in order to be right with God. And on many occasions when they were together with Jesus, they were asking Jesus questions, trying to trick him up, trying to get him an answer, to answer a question that they could interpret as being contrary to the law, so that they could hold him up before people and say, this man doesn't keep the law. He doesn't believe what was written by the prophets in the Old Testament. But on this occasion, Jesus turned the tables on him. Instead of them asking him a question, he asked the Pharisees a question, and it was a very simple yet deep question. What think ye of Christ? Now, he wasn't asking them the question of what they thought of him, because he knew that they did not believe that he was the Christ or the Messiah. He wanted them to answer the question, when Christ comes, who is he going to be? Who's his father? He wanted them to come to grips with what the Bible said about the Messiah. And then as time went on and he revealed himself as the Messiah, he wanted them to realize that when they were answering the question about the Messiah, they were answering the question about him. About him. Now, I'm sure in the crowd of Pharisees that day, there were three different groups of people. There were some people that had already made up their mind about Jesus, about him as a person. They said about him, well, he doesn't preach the law like we do. They saw him as a threat. And they were looking for a way to get him out, looking for a way to get him off the scene, to lessen his influence. And so there was a group of people that had already made up their mind that this was not the Messiah, this was not the Christ. Now, there were other people there that had already decided he was. Nicodemus may have been there that day. He was a Pharisee. He was the one that came to Jesus by night. And they talked about where the wind came from. They talked about being born again. And Nicodemus saw Jesus as the Christ. And then there was a third group of people there that day that were still trying to decide what their opinion was of him. Was he the Christ? Was he the Son of God? Was he the Savior? Hey, I want to tell you, I think the same three groups of people are present today. There's a group of people, a large group of people here this morning that have already decided what they think of Christ. They know that he is the Son of God. They know that he left heaven, came to earth, and lived a perfect life. And they've already decided to make him the Savior and Lord of their life. And so there's a group of people that have already decided. Now, there are some people here that are still forming their opinion. They're still trying to decide, well, who is Jesus? What was his purpose for coming? Was he really the Son of God? Now, I hope there's nobody here, and I don't understand why anybody would be here that have already decided to reject Christ. Because if they've already decided to reject Christ, they probably don't want anything to do with his church. They probably don't want to do anything, have anything to do with a church that preaches the gospel like we do. And so I take back what I said. There's probably only two members of that group here this morning. The ones that have decided against him are probably not here. At least I hope you're not in that category. If you are in that category this morning, I want to move you into the other one. I want you to still be deciding about Christ and form an opinion this morning about who he really is. You see, this question that Jesus asked them is a typical question that we talk about all the time. I mean, I'm sure that on occasion you probably ask somebody, well, what do you think about the president? What do you think about our senator? What do you think about our governor? I'm sure there are people that not only talk about political figures, but they talk about sports figures. What do you think about, you know, Miguel Cabrera? What do you think about Matthew Stafford? For either of you that don't know who those guys are, don't worry about it. It's not important. They're sports figures. But we talk about, I'm sure there's people that say, hey, what do you think? I'll just use Brother Wayne for an example. If people don't know Brother Wayne and they come to our church and they see him playing the clarinet, they might ask the question, well, what do you think about Brother Wayne? And if they don't know him, one of the ways that you can get to know a person and to form an opinion about him is ask other people what they think of him. So if somebody came in and they didn't know Brother Wayne, they could come up to me, the pastor, and say, Pastor, what do you think about Brother Wayne? And I would tell them what I think. I won't go into any detail. Just suffice it to say, I love that man. I appreciate that man. And so if somebody asked me what I thought of him, he would get a good report from me. But they could go and ask his wife and say, Carol, what about your husband? They could ask his sister-in-law, who has known him for a long time. They could ask his brother-in-law, who's not as known him as long as Marilyn has, but has known him for a long time. And they could contribute to that person's opinion of what they thought about Brother Wayne. There are people here that have known him for a long time that, you know, if you didn't know him, you could go to him and you could ask them their opinion and take all those things that different people said about him and you can form an opinion about Brother Wayne. Do you know we can do the same thing to Jesus Christ? One of the things that we can do using the Bible is we can go back and we can ask the people that were here or the beings that knew him, well, what do you think of Christ? And again, this is an important question. This is, and again, it's just not a question that those that are here that are not saved need to answer. Because you see, Christians need to answer this same question. What do ye think of Christ? Yes, you know him as your Savior, but if he really is who he says he is, if he is all that he says he is, then he not only needs to be your Savior, he needs to be your Lord. You need to give your life completely over to him. Take your hands off the steering wheel. Let him move into the driver's seat. Let him move into the pilot. He's not your co-pilot. He needs to be your pilot. He needs to direct your life. And we need to surrender ourselves a living sacrifice to our God. And what you think of Jesus Christ will determine how much you do that. And then again, if you're here and you've never received Christ, you need to decide. Because I want to tell you this morning, you cannot leave this place without making that decision. Jesus said one time, if you're not with me, you're against me. And if you walk out of this place this morning the same way that you came in, apart from God, because you have no relationship with Jesus Christ, then you have decided against him again this morning. And so my message is simple this morning. What think ye of Christ? I speak to both those that are still trying to decide if they're going to receive him as Savior, as I do to Christians. What think ye of Christ? I want to go back and I want to look at some of the beings and some of the people that knew him and get their testimony to help you form an opinion about Jesus. Now again, this morning, I'm not asking what you think of me as a preacher. I'm not asking what you think about Brother Wayne or anybody else. I'm asking you what you think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was he really the Son of God? Did he really create the world? Was he really the Prince of Heaven? Did he leave heaven? Did he come to earth? Was he born in a stable to a virgin? Did he live 33 years of a sinless, perfect life? What about his teaching? What about his preaching? What about the miracles that he performed? Did he really die on the cross? Did he really pay for my sins as he did that? Will one day I stand before him to be judged? Will believing in him make any difference where I spend eternity? What think ye of Christ? So again, I call as witnesses, so to speak, this morning, some folks, some beings that will help us answer those questions, that knew him, that walked with him, that talked with him, and can testify as to who he was. Let's start with the angels, those beings that were in heaven when Jesus sat as the Prince of Heaven before he came to earth. Those beings that were there when he created the heavens and the earth and everything that he made. They see as he held the world together as a sustainer of all that is. Let's start with Gabriel, one of the archangels, the one that delivered the news to Mary that she was going to bear the Son of God. Gabriel, what do you think of Christ? We read his answer in Luke chapter 1. And behold, again, he was talking to Mary. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Listen to what Gabriel, one of the archangels, says about Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Gabriel, one of the archangels, says, this is the Son of God. He will sit on the throne. He will reign forever and ever and ever. Then call the rest of the angel band that night gathered to have a heavenly choir. What do you think? Oh, hey, all the other angels, what do you think of Jesus Christ? Listen to their answer from the book of Luke. Behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angels saw him as the Son of God. They saw him as the King that will rule forever. They saw him as the Savior of mankind. I don't know about you, but if I could talk to an angel and that's what they told me, I'd believe them. I'd believe them. They told us what they thought of Christ. Let's move on. Let's ask Simeon. That old man that lived in Jerusalem, just and devout, filled with the Holy Spirit. He was promised by God that he would not die till he saw Christ. He was in the temple that day. A young couple brings in a little baby, and the Holy Spirit whispers to this man, that's him. That's him. And this older man goes over to Mary and Joseph. He asks if he could hold that little baby boy that they brought to the temple to dedicate that day. Listen to what this man says about Christ. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. This old man who met Jesus Christ as a little baby knew that he was not only going to be the Savior of the Jews, but the Savior of all the world, of all the Gentiles. Let's move on. There's plenty of people that we can ask what they think of Christ. Let's ask John the Baptist, the son of one of the high priests, the forerunner of Christ, anointed by the Holy Spirit before his birth. That man that went to school in the wilderness, wore a leather girdle, had a hairy coat, ate locusts and wild honey. I don't know what a diet. The honey might not be too bad, but I don't know about the locusts. I think I've heard that if you dip them in chocolate, they're pretty good, but I don't even want to try that. But John, what do you think of Christ? Listen as John answers, behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Going back to the Old Testament, to the innocent animals that died on the altar to pay the price of sin. John says, that's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. No more will we have to offer innocent animals. No longer will we have to kill the sheep and the rams, because God has sent the ultimate sacrifice. All the animals before just painted the picture of what Jesus was going to do on Calvary's cross. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He said, I bear record that he is the Son of God. Let's ask the disciples, those men that spent 3 years together with him, that traveled together and ate with him, and fellowshipped with him, that heard his preaching, that heard his teaching, that saw his miracles, but got to see behind the scenes. They got to see Jesus not only when he was in front of the public, but they got to see him when it was just by himself with them. I want to tell you, there wasn't any difference. What Jesus was in public, he was the same that he was in private. There wasn't any change. He didn't put on a stage front. He was the same. Whether he was with one person or if he was with the multitudes, he was the same. Let's ask the disciples. Let's go to Peter. He was a leader of the group, one of the inner circle. Peter always had an opinion about everything. Peter, what do you think of Christ? Listen as he answers from Matthew chapter 16. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Messiah. Thou art the promised one, the Son of the living God. Let's ask Judas. We want to get a balanced answer to our question, what think ye of Christ? Judas was one of the 12, but he was the one that betrayed him. He was the one that sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Judas, what do you think of Christ? Listen as he answers, I have betrayed innocent blood. I have betrayed the one that has no guilt at all. I have betrayed the one that has never sinned, tempted in all points, like as we, yet without sin. Let's ask the Pharisees. They answered part of the question when Jesus said, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the Son of David. But there's other occasions where they gave their opinion of who Christ was, of what he was all about. In Luke chapter 15, verse 2, here's what the Pharisees said about Jesus. This man receiveth sinners. This man receiveth sinners. They knew enough right there to get saved. Here was a man who receiveth sinners, who brought sinners unto himself, who came to seek and save that which was lost so he could save them. Even the Pharisees heap on evidence in answer to the question, what think ye of Christ? That he is the Son of God. That he is the King that's going to rule forever. That he is our Savior. And that he seeks the sinner to save him. How about the demons? Those beings that took over people's body when Jesus walked the face of the earth. People like Mary Magdalene. People like the maniac of Gadara, who Jesus encountered and cast the devils out of them. What do you think of Christ? Listen to their answer in Mark chapter 5, verse 7. Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God. Hey, the testimony is pretty consistent. The testimony is pretty clear. What think ye of Christ? Everybody we've asked, the angels and John the Baptist and the disciples and the demons, they've testified, you are the Son of God. You are the King that will rule forever. You are our Savior. You are a sinless man. You are the one that receiveth sinners. Let's go on. Before we finish up, let's go on. Let's ask Pilate, the Roman governor that oversaw his trial. He got to question Jesus. He got to examine the evidence against him. He was the one that washed his hands and allowed the crowd to condemn him to death. Pilate, what think ye of Christ? He said, I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in this man. It wasn't, there was one, and Pilate couldn't find it. He couldn't find one because there wasn't one. There was no fault in Jesus. Even Pilate's wife, who did not get to be there when Pilate made his decision, sent him a note, said, have thou nothing to do with this just man? Asked the centurion, the leader of that group of soldiers that crucified him. That group of soldiers that beat him, spit on him, mocked him, whipped him, put the crown of thorns on his head, nailed him to the cross. The one that stood there and watched him die. What does the centurion think of Christ? He said in Mark chapter 15, verse 39, truly, this was the Son of God. To me, that's an amazing statement. It's almost as amazing statement as King Nebuchadnezzar when he looked into the fiery furnace and said, hey, we threw three men in, and they were tied up, and now they're loose, and there's a fourth man in there, and that fourth man has the Son. It has the form of the Son of God, an old heathen king who had nothing to do with God. When he came face to face with the Son of God, he recognized who he was. Here was a centurion who had just beaten, who had just crucified the Son of God, watched him die, heard him die, saw what happened on the cross. He said, truly, truly, this was the Son of God. When you think about the testimony of that centurion, when you think about what King Nebuchadnezzar said, you begin to understand more and more that verse that says, one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Because you see, when you see Him, when you come face to face with Him, when the veil is ripped away, we will recognize Him for who He is. Let's call one more witness, one more person. Let's call God the Father. He's been with Jesus for all eternity, forever and ever and ever. God, what do you think of Christ? Listen to His pronouncement. In an audible voice, He said in Mark chapter 1, verse 11, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He said on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter and James and John were up on that mountain with Jesus, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Hear ye Him. Let's do that. Before we form our opinion of Christ, let's hear what He said about Himself. He said in John chapter 3, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. By the way, if you're having trouble with the Bible quiz, think about that story. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I wish we had more time. I wish we could go around the room this morning. I wish we could ask people that are sitting in this pews that have already made up their mind that who Jesus is. I wish we could ask them what they think of Christ. You know what? They'd say the same thing. They'd say He is the Son of God. He is the King that will reign forever. He is our Savior. He had no sin, and yet He went to the cross and paid for the sins of all mankind. He offers that payment to God, and God accepted it. And now Jesus can offer to each of us the gift of eternal life. What think ye of Christ? Hey, wait a minute. There's a better way. You don't have to depend on the opinions of others to decide what you're going to believe about Jesus Christ. I mean, what a shame it would be if you depended on the opinions of others to get to know Brother Wayne. It would be so much better if you got to know him. He's a good guy to know. You'll be blessed when you get to know him. I want to tell you something. The same thing is true by far more when you get to know Jesus Christ. Don't just depend on what the angel said. Don't depend on what John the Baptist said. Don't depend on what the disciples said. Don't depend on what the centurion said. Find out for yourself. Find out for yourself. Find out what Jesus will do for you if you trust him. He invites you throughout the Bible. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He says, try me out. See if I won't keep every promise I made. See if I won't forgive your sins. See if I won't make you right with God. Just try me out. What a shame. What a tragedy it is that people reject Christ without even giving him a chance, without even trying him. The psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that Jesus is exactly who he says he is, the Son of God, your Savior, who offers to you the gift of eternal life. Would you try him this morning? There's scores of people in this room that have. And again, if we had time, they would stand and they would testify, he works. He works. He did for me exactly what he said he'd do. He took away my sin. He made me right with God. He gave me a life that has purpose and meaning. I had it. I didn't have that before I met Jesus Christ. And he'll do the same thing for you. Would you give him a try this morning? Would you simply, in childlike faith, trust him and see if he doesn't save you? See if he doesn't give purpose and meaning to your life. See if he doesn't do everything that he promises to do. Would you? Please don't leave this place this morning without trying Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony of all these that knew your son, that stand and say he is exactly who he claimed to be, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Savior. And Father, I pray both for those that are still trying to decide if they're going to trust him for salvation. I pray for the Christian this morning. I pray that we would see Jesus for all he is. I pray that we would see his love. I pray that we would see the price that he paid for us on Calvary. And those that are here that don't know him this morning would make the decision to try him out, to put him to the test, to see if he'll forgive their sins and give them new life. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. We don't see Jesus for all of who he is. And so we haven't made him the Lord of our life, the captain of our life, the pilot of our life. Help us to get a fresh glimpse of not only our Savior, but our Lord this morning, and offer our bodies as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable unto you. Please bless this time of invitation. Speak to hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to listen and be obedient. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.